So vocalization is definitely a big part of chicken society.
Uh-huh. This is Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. Today I'm with Carl Hammer of the Vermont Compost Company, where the motto is Feed the Soil. So Carl's got all kinds of things going on, which is, you know, typical of a great agriculturalist. So thank you, Carl, for making time today for me.
You're welcome.
So tell me, what's the main mission here?
Yeah, joy. We're looking for joy.
So what we have here is how many chickens we got here?
Well, they're moving around. It's a little hard to count. Our aspiration is about 1,200 hens in lay. We're way off that right now. We'll probably have about 450 hens in lay here. We've got some young pullets coming on.
And roughly what's the compost formula here? How much material you get in? How much is out?
We're doing a lot of different things here, and not all of the material we manage ends up in front of chickens. But we manage about just shy of 1,000 wet tons of community food residuals here.
Uh-huh.
And food is typically somewhere between 15 and 20% by volume of the starting ratio of what we call the pickle. So what you're looking at here is the pickle. That's what the chickens forage on, although they forage, as you can see, broadly on pasture and other materials.
Uh-huh. So how does the material come in?
Material is collected from restaurants and the co-op supermarket and the culinary institute and the schools in our community in roll-around totes that are washable, and it's collected in a truck that has a tote tipper and a tote washer, and then it gets dumped into a receiving pit and blended with things like the bedding hay from the roost and lay house, cow manure, mule and donkey manure from our mules and donkeys, horse manure from neighboring horse stables, spoiled grass silage, hardwood bark, things like that. Remember that the food that comes from the community is kind of a slurry by the time we mix it all up and wash the totes. So it's not especially attractive to wallow in. We have to add other materials to make it really pleasant to be around. And I don't know, mm-hmm. We're sitting right in here, and you know, there is some, you can smell the food, you can see some food, but you don't have to go very far before you can't smell food. So malodor is lost, and we work hard on maintaining.
It's a pretty pleasant scent here. So do folks pay to have their stuff hauled away?
They do. But they pay a lot less than they would have to haul to the landfill or transfer station. We've always based the whole program on saving generators money so that while they can celebrate doing the right thing and put the sticker on the door, this business compost, all that stuff, we want them to be able to look at it on a day when they're really looking to save a couple bucks and remind themselves, no, I'm saving money there.
Let's just jump ahead to what happens to the finished product.
Well, the first part of our process is blending, and then chickens avail themselves of what we call the pickle. It's the primary lactofermentation. We then go into a thermophilic phasing where the material gets hot, and we keep it at what we call tracking. We go through a phase called tracking, which is a period of a minimum of 15 days where we maintain the material at a minimum of 131 degrees Fahrenheit, and we turn it a minimum of 5 times. So at the end of that period of time, the material is compost under the National Organic Program rule, and it's also compost pursuant to Vermont's solid waste and ag regs. At that point, it has had a process to further reduce pathogen, and then it gets stacked up on the ground to cure. And curing is a sequence of rolls and moves always down the hill towards the place where we blend potting soils and screen compost and so on. So, but we actually use compost on the farm fairly early in this phase when it still has more energy. So we grow vegetables on the farm here. We spread compost on the fields. A lot of our money on the farm here comes from making potting soils. We make 20 or so different value-added compost products mostly for professional greenhouse growers, and most of those organic. But we also we use our hot mix in our own greenhouses for heat for seedling beds, and then we then the succession there is that we force seedlings in the through the winter and spring, and then that material, as it gets a little cooler and more mature, is appropriate for growing tomatoes in, and then we actually remove it from the tomato house and use it in the field.
And then there's eggs. What happens with eggs?
Eggs get sold pretty much here in town, though we provide eggs to a couple of community-supported agriculture projects. We sell to the co-op. We sell a lot of eggs here at the farm. We're right on Main Street in the city here, and it's pretty convenient for people to buy eggs. And we've been selling eggs from the farm for years. I also should say that a lot of apartment dwellers and people whose yards do not allow them the luxury of making compost bring their compostables here that we then feed to our chickens.
And they do that just because they're conscious and don't want the waste, or do you have another added value for them?
No, well, the value they get actually is, first of all, this is a pay-to-throw town. And many people have found that by recycling aggressively, you know, take care of their cardboard, do all that, separate everything, they end up with very small amount of material that ultimately has to be in a landfill. And one woman who has an apartment said she can keep it for a month in the closet because it doesn't have food on it, so it doesn't smell. And so she's reduced her need to pay to dispose. You don't know that, but our vegetables are mule and donkey powered here.
We deeply believe
that animal power is not a nostalgic thing, it's a future thing. It is the arithmetically supportable solar power of the future.
So you're talking about animal power, let's get back to chickens. So let's talk about chicken power for a couple minutes and let you get back to all the chores that I took you away from.
One of the things I've learned is that chickens exist in a society, so the sociology of their community includes the very pertinent fact that each chicken has individual preferences. So they have what I call the flock mind and the individual mind. And some of them like risotto, some of them like fancy French cooking, some of them don't. Some of them can't be bothered. If totes are being dumped, ho-hum, I'm down in the mule barn, and I just make my living feeding mule poop to red wigglers and eating red wigglers, and I don't go up to the hurly-burly of the food dump. Sometimes you'll see a whole bunch of hens decide to run somewhere. And you'll see a hen that suddenly she's running there and she remembers that there's something she actually wanted to do if everybody was distracted, and she will suddenly go the other way. And sometimes somebody on the tail end of all everybody going wherever they're all going looks and sees her and maybe follows her. Okay? And now you've got, so they went in different directions because they had different plans. Around here, our aspiration is that each chicken should achieve its chickenhood. Whatever that ultimately means to that bird. We're into life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and please lay some eggs. And then we have the chickens enhance the compost. Because birds don't urinate and defecate separately, their packet, as it's called, is very concentrated protein. Two things that I've learned, again, from the chickens. It took me quite a while to have the realization that it's a recent aberration to feed grain to chickens. Nobody who harvests grain with a hand sickle is growing it for chickens. And chickens don't need grain. In fact, it's not good for them. And it produces a much lower quality egg than you would get foraging. The preponderant mass of animal on the planet is insect. Insects outweigh all other forms of animal life combined.
Thank you very much. Yeah. That's a lot of brilliant material for this show. I really had a good time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I talked to Carl for over an hour. I picked out 8 minutes of that conversation for this episode. But I really want folks to know that Carl introduced me to concepts and perspectives that have influenced my thinking and the way I approach this show and a lot of aspects of my life in the 6 months since I recorded it. Thank you, Carl. I had a good time. Bucky Bacall's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.